Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. Revelation, chapter 16. We'll read verse 13 together in unison. Then we'll turn to two other passages here in the book of Revelation. Revelation, chapter 16, verse number 13. And again, we'll read this verse in unison together. Ready? "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Now turn to Revelation chapter 19. We'll read verse 20 together. And again, we'll read this passage in unison. Revelation 19, verse number 20. Ready? "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone." And now chapter 20, verse number 10, we'll read this verse as the last verse together. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, let's read it in unison together. Ready? "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Thank you that it's obvious that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Thank you that it could be said, as in Scripture, there's a man of God in this city. Thank you for our preacher. Father, we stand before you needy. Lord, well over a dozen people saved today, dozens saved. And yet, we still need you to work. We're still sinful. We still need our lives worked on. There's still more people to reach. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
For those of you that are constantly nodding off, you don't even know what just happened there for a moment. If for some reason we lose power, I don't want you to panic. They had church without electricity for years. But you just listen and let us lead you through it. If it happens, we will not be powerless here. We may not just have electricity. We just read from Revelation chapter 16, Revelation chapter 19, and Revelation chapter 20. Tonight, I, in a special way, want to say something to some of our newer Christians. In a church like ours, we constantly have new people being saved, being baptized, joining our church and growing in the Lord. To many of you, what I'll say, you'll say, I've heard that before. Well, I have nothing new to offer you ever. It's the same old book, the same old God. But I need to remind some of us, and to the new Christians, for some of them, what I'll say will be somewhat new. So about, every 18 months or so, I speak down this line in a variety of different ways, but I just want us to be reminded of some things. I call the sermon tonight, Counterfeits. Counterfeits. My wife and I, when our children, it's just always been our tradition that we take a week of vacation and we go away with our family. We've always done it. Did it when the children were little, and now that they're grown and have their own families, they very graciously go along with us, and we take an entire week. Many years ago, probably 18 years ago or so, we took off for a vacation. I had scheduled a hotel for a night, and in central Indiana, there is a hotel chain that's called Budget Inn, I-N-N. And I got on the telephone, and this hotel was right along our journey to where we were going. And I did not realize that I had made a reservation not in a Budget Inn, but I had made a reservation in a hotel called a Budget 10. Now, a Budget 10 was a counterfeit Budget Inn, but I had no idea. We had driven all day long. We got there finally. It was late at night. And we were wore out and plumb tuckered out and ready to go to our hotel room, and everybody relaxed, and we got there, and all the lights were kind of flashing into place. The light bulbs were about half burnt out, and the parking lot had weeds growing up everywhere. And oh, was it a mess. They should have named it the Roach Motel. We walked into the room, flipped the light on, and I'm telling you, roaches as big as the raccoons that we have here in West Virginia, they were everywhere. These roaches didn't even scamper to run and hide. They just got their switchblades out and said, come on, try to take this bed from me. You all think I'm kidding, I'm not. The room that they had given us, the people that had been in it, I don't think it had been clean. Had we taken a shower, the shower would have been cleaner after we got finished with it than when we arrived. And the people that owned it were, if they were American, they didn't speak English. And the only words that they had learned was, give me your money, and the word thank you. We tried to tell them, we were standing there, we tried to explain to the manager, there were roaches in our room, and she said, thank you. I thought, no, that's not really what you're supposed to say right now. We're not going to use these to eat. It's maybe a delicacy in other countries, but here it's no good. But we said, there are big bugs in the room, and she said, thank you. And I said, the room smells bad. She said, thank you. Thank you. Everything that we said, the room's not clean. Thank you. Thank you. And we finally had to leave. You know what had happened here? Someone had taken a hotel, what I'll call a brand name or a chain name, and they mimicked it. They facaded from the budget inn to a budget tent, and it was counterfeit. You know, there are a lot of counterfeits in life. There are a lot of counterfeits in life. We read earlier from Revelation chapter 16, verse number 13, and you've seen it. You may not have known what you were reading, but in that verse, it talks about the false prophet. He is a counterfeit. He's a fraud. He's a fake prophet. We read again in Revelation 19, verse 20, it said, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. There again, we see that there's a false prophet mentioned. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, again, it says, where the beast and the false prophet are. This false prophet that comes in these days here in the world, he's a very powerful person, very persuasive person. And so you understand, this false prophet that's spoken of here in the latter parts of the book of Revelation, that people think he's real. There are going to be a lot of people say, wow, look at this guy. Wow, he's got it together. People sincerely follow this false prophet, but he is a counterfeit. Now, something that I've not seen this all of my life. I suppose in the last 4 or 5 years, I've seen it more and more. You ever gone to a store and you pay, and if you use a bill, a 20, a 50, or a $100 bill, they pull out a magic marker that they can swipe across that bill. And what it does, if it's a counterfeit bill, the magic marker is one color. If it's a real bill, the magic marker is another color. I got one of those magic markers. I was playing with it. I had gone recently. I was in a local store and I pulled out a $50 bill to pay for something, and they took out this little magic marker and they swiped it across the bill and it came up the right color. And so I got to go ahead and buy my cigarettes and beer. And no, if you're a visitor, that's not true. I don't drink beer. But I bought my item, but the lady at the register, she took that marker, she swiped it across that bill, and that marker would help to signify that either that bill was the real McCoy or it was a counterfeit. Now, I always get nervous when they do that to me. I always get nervous if I pay with a 20 or a 50 or a $100 bill and they go to taking that marker across. I think, I don't know what I would do if they said it was counterfeit. I'd have to turn Brother Bush in for that printing press that he's got going in his basement or something. But and how many of you have ever had someone do that? They took one of your bills. We all must look like criminals around here. That may be what it is. But I always get nervous when they do that. Now, that clerk, it was her job And that marker, it was the marker's job to alert the clerk to the possibility or to a counterfeit. Why? So the business wouldn't be hurt. And so the people that were depending on that money would not be hurt by it. And so, hey, did you know something? It's my job as a pastor to warn you about counterfeits in life. Why? So you won't be hurt. See, if somebody turned a counterfeit in to that business, and they'd be cheated, they'd be hurt, and that they could suffer loss. And as a pastor, it's my job to help you to recognize the counterfeits of life. It's my job to help you. Why? So that you don't get hurt, so you don't suffer loss. And in the Christian life and in this life in general, there are some counterfeits that we ought to be very, very careful of. For instance, you know, the Bible tells us there is a counterfeit gospel. A counterfeit gospel. Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Here the Bible talks about another gospel. Hey, listen, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. And that gospel is, that's what salvation's all about. You and I get saved because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you be careful, especially some of you new Christians. You get to watching things on religious television and religious radio, and you go down to the religious bookstore and you start buying things. They'll give you the impression we're all one big happy family, and it doesn't matter what you believe. You go ahead, and if you're sincere in your heart, believe what you want to believe. Let me tell you something. There are going to be a lot of sincere people. They're going to die and go to hell, because you'll either get saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ or you're not saved. So there are actually false gospels. That the Bible says salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, getting saved, it's 100% Jesus and zero you. He does all the saving, you just do all the letting. You let him save you. You say, well, I think it's about 50-50. No, it's not 50-50. 50-50 will send you to hell. You say, well, I think it's about 90% Jesus and 10% me. Yeah, hey, your 10% will send you right to hell. You say, well, let me get a little closer. I think it's 99% Jesus and 1% me. It is 100% Jesus that does the saving. That's the old time gospel. And the Bible tells us there are counterfeit gospels. Now, some people get irritated if you talk and you say, well, this church or that church doesn't preach the gospel right. Look, folks, the worst heresy on the face of the earth is teaching wrong about salvation. That is a damnable heresy. It's a terrible heresy. And you say, well, they're all sincere. Sincere not. They're wrong if they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was his death, his burial, and resurrection that makes salvation available. It's the gospel. And so there's counterfeit gospels. Not only that, they're counterfeit Christs. Counterfeit Christs. Again, you heard it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 4 there, where it says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus," another Jesus. It's talking about if somebody comes along and tries to convince you of another Savior, another Jesus, another Christ, another Messiah. Folks, there is one Savior. One Savior. That's it. It is Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. Hey, he was born of a virgin. His mama's name was Mary, and his father was God, the God of heaven, Jehovah God. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He died for you, was buried for you, was resurrected for you, and he is the only Savior. You say, you just straight-laced, and oh, you just, what's wrong with you? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Muhammad's not going to save anybody. And as we become politically correct in America, you have Christians thinking, well, we need to go ahead and accept, you know, the fact that people think Muhammad's safe. Muhammad will send you straight to hell, my friend. Buddha will, old beer belly Buddha will send you straight to hell. You need to get saved through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the predicted Messiah. And there are false Christs. There are false saviors. There are false Jesuses, if you will. And we need to realize that not everybody, nobody that says they can save you except for one, and that's Jesus Christ. And so, there are counterfeit gospels. There are counterfeit Jesuses or Christ. There are counterfeit baptisms. There are baptisms that are wrong. Now, if you're a kind person and you're a friendly person and you're a generous person and you just have this attitude, everything's okay as long as it has to do with God, it's all okay. You are wrong. It's not all okay. And you said who? God said. God said. There are counterfeit baptisms. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible says they both went down into the water and he was baptized." Here's the key. Here's what's happening here. A man said, "Hey, how about I get baptized?" And the preacher said, "You're not to get baptized until you're saved." And then when the guy said, "Okay, I'll trust Christ," he gets saved. Then they go down into the water and he gets baptized. Hey, not everything that they call baptism is scriptural. It's not all baptism. There are counterfeit baptisms. The Bible teaches that you are to be saved before you get baptized. If anybody gets baptized before their salvation, they were not baptized, they just got wet. And I'm glad for you to have the shower or the bath, but you need to get baptized after your salvation. Baptism before salvation is counterfeit. We need to pull out the magic marker of the counterfeit and swipe it across your baptism and find out, did you get baptized after your salvation? If it was not after salvation, it was not baptism. It was counterfeit. Not only is it after salvation, but baptism is by immersion. The Bible teaches that Jesus, when he was baptized, went all the way down under the water and came up out of the water. The eunuch went down into the water and came up out of the water. You went somewhere and they sprinkle a little water out of a cup on you. That's not baptism. And I'd like to see you come up here and go down into this cup of water. You'd have to be pretty puny to climb into that and climb out of it. You say, "But I think they're all just trying real hard to please God." Well, if you want to please God, do it God's way. This is how God said it was supposed to be done. There are counterfeit baptisms. Baptism is after salvation. It's under the water. And it's after you have been saved. And so, you know, it's not a part of your salvation. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is a picture of your salvation. You stand in the water, death, burial, resurrection. You go under. It's a picture of you claiming the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're showing on the outside the Jesus that you've already accepted on the inside. But you don't go to heaven by getting baptized. There are churches that baptize babies. Well, if babies aren't saved, babies don't need to be baptized. Baptism is a step of obedience that comes after salvation. See, there are counterfeits in this life. There are counterfeits. There are a counterfeit gospel. There's counterfeit Christs. There are counterfeit baptisms. I think there are counterfeit preachers. Counterfeit preachers. The books of 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus are called the pastoral epistles. And here in 2nd Timothy 4, 5 it says, "But watch thou in all things," this is Paul writing to Timothy, a young preacher boy, he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." God is giving direction here to a preacher about what he's supposed to be and what he's supposed to do. Now listen, we've got to be careful. Preachers are supposed to be Bible protectors, not Bible correctors. Let me read a verse to you. In Jeremiah 36, 23, it says this. "It came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth." Here is a story of the Word of God. And here someone is chosen to take out their pocket knife and to cut a part of the Word of God out. And deciding, well, that part right there is not important. Folks, not a one of us have the right to cut anything out of the Word of God. Not a one of us. As a preacher, I can't cut out the part that I don't like. as a preacher, we're to preach the whole counsel of God. Not every person that calls themselves a preacher are God called. And there are some of you that you're new Christians and you watched on religious television or religious radio and you said, well, I really like that guy or I really like that woman. God calls men to preach, by the way. But you heard, you said, I really like that person and I think they're of God. Look, not everybody that calls themselves a preacher is a preacher. Wacko, I forget what his name was, that predicted Jesus was coming back a couple months ago. He ended up with egg on his face, and all of us ended up, he embarrassed Christianity by that kind of stuff. The Bible says no man knoweth the day or the hour when Jesus comes. Now, Jesus is coming again, but we can't predict when. But not every person that calls themselves a preacher are preachers. That's how it is. Hey, let me tell you something. You go down to the average Christian bookstore and it's not Christian. Now, here in our Christian bookstore, we don't put things in there that we wouldn't recommend to you. The Christian bookstore, we don't put a sticker in the front of it that says, we disagree with the doctrine in this book, but here's the book. We don't do that. We don't want you to look at that sort of stuff. But you go to the average Christian bookstore, and you've got all these authors, and you've got all this stuff on the shelf. It is so full of false doctrine, and there are so many false preachers. You better be careful what you do. You better be careful what you read. You better be careful what you study. You see, I think the Bible teaches there are counterfeit preachers and counterfeit baptisms and counterfeit Christs and counterfeit gospels. The Bible tells us there are counterfeit doctrines. Counterfeit doctrines. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Not all doctrine is of the Lord. Not all doctrine is of the Bible. Not all doctrine is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Here it talks about doctrines of devils. Say, well, where would that come from? It probably come from the counterfeit preachers. The counterfeit preachers that talk about counterfeit baptisms, that accept counterfeit Christ, and most of them are teaching a counterfeit gospel. But the Bible tells us there are actually doctrines of devils. And it's not just talking about witchcraft. It's talking about churches that are teaching doctrines that are of the devil. For instance, I think work salvation is a doctrine of the devil. Let me say it again in case you're confused. Work salvation is a doctrine of the devil. It can be traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It can be traced all the way back. Hey, right away the devil entered the picture back when Adam and Eve made their fall. And you see work salvation enter the picture. There's only one way to be saved. It's by grace through faith. And any other doctrine about salvation is a doctrine of the devil. You say, why are you so strong about it? Because that false doctrine will send somebody to hell. It'll send somebody to hell. So works salvation is a doctrine of the devil. It's a counterfeit doctrine. I think there is a false teaching or a false doctrine about soul winning. We believe in confrontational soul winning, confrontational evangelism. Now, let me explain something to you. When we use the word confrontation, that doesn't mean you're supposed to go out and be a jerk. Confrontational evangelism is not going up, knocking on somebody's door, putting your dukes up and say, come on, let's go. I'll go around with you. No, confrontational means that you're willing to confront them about the reality of heaven and hell and their need to be saved, and you approach them. We go out into the highways and the hedges and we compel them to come in. That's confrontational. But there is a teaching of a thing called lifestyle evangelism. And it struck up pretty heavily back in the 70s, and now it's coming back on the scene again. And what is lifestyle evangelism? That's where they say, well, in this generation, it's too offensive to approach people, so you just need to live right and then let people approach you. So the lost people are to approach us. That's the false doctrine of lifestyle evangelism, and so you know, it's wrong. It's wrong. We're not to go around and live right just hoping somebody confronts us or somebody comes and inquires. We're to go and talk to them about their soul. Now, I think you ought to live in such a way that someone knows that you're different, that someone would believe there's something different about you. But listen, folks, I've been saved since I was 16 years of age. That's a long time. Over 35 years I have been saved, and in all these years I've lived a separated life. I carry my Bible in public. I've tried to live a life that would be pleasing to God. I've never had one single person walk up to me and say, "I'll tell you what, buddy, I looked at you. You look awful inviting. Your life is really, really something. What must I do to be saved?" You'd think 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 35, 36 plus years, somebody by now would have approached me. But I've approached many of them because that's what the Bible teaches. You be careful not to get sucked up into that thing of we get passive. We get passive with our Christianity. You need to approach people about their need of salvation. What is it? This lifestyle evangelism deal, it's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. Let me tell you something else. There are those that wrongly teach that separation from the world makes you a legalist. A legalist. Let me explain something to you. When you, the word legalist, what that really means is this. When someone tries to tell you you must follow parts of the law to be saved, that is work salvation, that is legalism inserted into salvation, and that's false. You don't keep part of the law to be saved. And that's where the term legalism comes from. And so when somebody says, "Well, that church down there, they have those standards and they have that separation. They're a legalistic church." Oh, baloney. You don't even know what you're talking about. Legalism is adding a work or the law to salvation. See, what you're having a hard time accepting is that it's a doctrine called sanctification. Sanctification is when you get set apart. That piano right there has been sanctified. What's it mean? It's set apart unto the gospel. Mrs. Doss sits at that piano and she plays the old time religion. I better never walk in here and find anybody playing honky tonk or beer music on there. We're going to come after you with a big stick because that old piano right there, she'd been sanctified. She'd been set apart. And Christians are to be set apart. If somebody said to you, "Well, you have these standards and expectations and you're just a legalist. You're full of baloney. You don't even know what it means to be a legalist." A legalist is adding to the law, adding law to salvation. Hey, and standards is they're a part of the sanctification of the Christian, the being set apart from the world. But it's a false doctrine. They try to say we're legalists because we believe in living separate from the world. Hey, and everybody has standards. It's just some of them don't like ours. They pick their own. That's called humanism, by the way, which is stronger right now than that's probably the most dangerous thing that's being taught in America right now. It's all the humanism. You just decide. Situation ethics. You just decide. Well, I believe the Bible decides. The Bible determines right and wrong. But there are many counterfeits. The Bible tells us of this one called the false prophet. Many will be persuaded by him. There is the counterfeit gospel and the counterfeit Christ and counterfeit baptisms and counterfeit preachers and counterfeit doctrines. The Bible tells us there are counterfeit spirits. Counterfeit spirits. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit..." Another spirit. Now, folks, we should not be ashamed of the fact that we believe in the Holy Ghost of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to let the healers, stealers, and squealers steal away from me the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid to talk about the Holy Ghost. I'm not afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. I believe in Him. I know He's strong. I know He works today. But here it talks about another spirit. You realize then there are counterfeit spirits. Now, I'll remind you, the Holy Spirit always agrees with the Word of God. Always. Perfect unity. Perfect unity between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hey, you say, "Well, I was led of the Spirit." You were not led of the Spirit if you were led contrary to the Bible. I'll have people say to me, "Well, I know how you feel about it, Brother Owens, but the Spirit led me." Hey, the way I feel about it doesn't matter. The way God feels about it matters. And the Bible says, don't do it. And you think some spirit led you to do it. You've gotten involved with the wrong spirit. a counterfeit spirit led you. Because the Spirit of God never leads us contrary to the Word of God. They are one and the self-same. They are a part of an undividable team. The Holy Spirit was given to convict us. The Holy Spirit was given to comfort us. The Holy Spirit was given to aid us in our soul winning. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit does not create an emotional and unpredictable free-for-all that you can't make any sense out of. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. You look, when the Holy Spirit was working, He did a powerful work in the Bible. But be careful now. There are counterfeit spirits. I believe this. You can't. People are working very hard in their churches and their church services to create a spirit. You can't create a spirit. You cannot create a spirit. You do what it takes to have the Holy Spirit come visit you. He shows up if He wants to show up. And we are to be in submission to the Spirit of God. And we are to make sure that we've got our eyes on that Spirit. And we're submissive to that Spirit. And that He is the one that decides what He'll do with the church service. And so, there are counterfeits. There are counterfeits. Counterfeit gospels and counterfeit Christs and baptisms and preachers and doctrines and spirits. There are counterfeit Bibles. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. You've heard the verse time and time again. It says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." There are those who have turned the Bible and Bible printing into such a business, they don't care if the Bible's pure anymore. They'll do anything to make a buck. Anything to make a buck. They'll print a Bible. It doesn't matter to them if they leave out Scripture. It doesn't matter to them. And they're trying to find, hey, it's almost like hamburgers. They'll make a hamburger that's got cheese on it for the people like hamburgers with cheese. They'll make a hamburger that doesn't have cheese for the people that don't like cheese. They'll make hamburger and put pickles on it if you want it. They'll make hamburger and put ketchup on it if you want it. They'll make hamburger and put some mustard on it if you want to. Hey, you can just go down to Burger King and get you a Bible. Have it your way, they say. I've got news for you. We're not to have it our way. We're to have it God's way. But a Bible, it's not supposed. There's not supposed to be a menu where you go pick what Bible you want to use. Its purity has become irrelevant, and the printing world will print Bibles, and they don't care about its purity. Thank God. God promised us. He said, "My word's inspired." God promised us that He would preserve His word for us. And I hold tonight a King James Bible. I happen to believe that's the Word of God. I happen to believe that with my whole heart. It's not one of many. It's one of a kind. Some of you are members of the Bible of the Month Club. I'd cancel your subscription. You're wasting money. Get you an old King James Bible, and you've got the sword that God left for us in the English-speaking world. See, there are counterfeits. There are counterfeits. And I'm almost finished. You're glad to hear that. But just remember, the last point could be the longest point. See how smoothly and quickly everything's going. Stay with me now. Say amen. A couple of you that aren't smiling, fake it. I'll get you out of here quicker. There are counterfeit titles. Counterfeit titles. Revelation 17, verse number 3, it says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman set up a scarlet-colored beast full of names, a blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." Sounds like a teacher I had in grade school. The Bible talks about here someone who was full of names of blasphemy. And it talks, it refers to who, whatever organization this is, it's referred to in the feminine gender. I believe it's probably reference to the Catholic Church. You say, "I don't think you ought to say that." Then when you pastor, you can say what you want to say from your pulpit. But for right now, you have to tolerate the fact that I'm the pastor. At least I was when we started today. But it's very obvious there are the Catholic Church and many others. They have titles that they use, and they falsely exalt leadership in a wrong way. And it's counterfeit leadership. It's counterfeit spiritual leadership. Now, I love the verse in Psalm 111, verse 9, where it says, "He sent redemption unto His people He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Hey, there's one name that goes at the top of the list, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. That name where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So you all know, you're not supposed to be using God's name or Jesus' name as a cuss word. You be careful how you treat the name of Jesus, and you be careful how you treat the name of God. We're to treat it with reverence. But the Bible does say there are false titles. There are titles and people that will be given titles and they'll be exalted. And so you all know, I'm concerned. I think we ought to pray about the upcoming election. I'm very concerned that we get the right person in the White House. But I'm going to tell you something. America is not going to turn back to God until we put Jesus' name at the top of the stationery. Until America turns back to the one and only that could bring revival, America will stay a mess. Now, I'm for all that we can do to get the right kind of people into office, but I'm going to tell you, until you put Jesus into office and he becomes the king of your life and he becomes the king of America, we're going to continue in a mess. But there are false or counterfeit titles. Earlier, we read from Revelation chapter 16 where it mentioned the false prophet. We read in Revelation 19:20 about the false prophet. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10 about the false prophet. Here's what I believe. I believe one of the reasons why the false prophet will be so readily accepted is because even now people are just caught up in so many of the counterfeits already. I mean, you know, today we are so fluffy and our involvement with everything that is quote unquote religious. We just go, there's an ecumenical movement taking place in America. Someone left a message on my phone. A local church said, what I think we ought to do, Pastor Owens, is I think all the youth departments in the whole state of West Virginia, we all ought to get together and have a big old jam fest for Jesus. They'll make popsicles in hell before we'll take our teenagers to a jam fest for Jesus. We're not going to drop what we believe so we all can hold hands and let our eyes roll back in our head and sing kumbaya. It's not going to happen around here. We're not a part of the ecumenical movement. We believe in the old time way. We're going to stick with the old time way. We're not going to change it. That's why we call our college Old Paths Baptist College. I know my roots. I know that from where I came. I know what I believe. I'm not changing what I believe. Someone said, well, you know, I forget who it was. They said to a pastor, said, well, you better change. He said, look, buddy, it's easier for you to move your membership than for me to move my furniture. Hit the road, Jack. So you trying to get rid of anybody? No, I don't know of anybody that opposes anything that I've said this evening. But just in case you're out there, we are going to stick with the real McCoy. Amen. The real McCoy. It doesn't matter how much religion deteriorates. It doesn't matter how much America deteriorates. It doesn't matter how much even the fundamental Baptist movement deteriorates. Let's stick with the real thing. Let's not get caught up in the counterfeit gospel or the counterfeit Christ or the counterfeit baptism or the counterfeit preachers or the counterfeit doctrines or the counterfeit spirit or the counterfeit Bibles or the counterfeit titles. Let's stay with the real thing. Jesus Christ, the old King James Bible, soul winning the old fashioned way, running the buses, the local New Testament Baptist church, baptizing them right here on the spot after they get saved, the old time way. The old time way. That's what I'm for. And I think that's what you're for as well. Every once in a while, I just need to say to the new Christians, this is where you're at. And a couple of them right now are going, wow. And to some of the old Christians, you need to be careful you don't slip away from the old time ways. Counterfeits. Counterfeits. If you're here tonight and somehow someone has presented a Christ or a gospel to you that was counterfeit, somebody told you your good works would get you to heaven, or somebody told you you could get baptized and get to heaven. If somebody's told you you could join the church and get to heaven, I'm sorry. Somebody has convinced you of a counterfeit. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone as your Savior. If you're not saved, we welcome you. We'd invite you to come. Maybe you need the Savior tonight. Hey, maybe you need to get baptized the right way. You say, I'm saved, but I've been baptized when I was a kid, but never got baptized after I got saved. Then that baptism was a counterfeit baptism before salvation. Maybe you need to get baptized tonight. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe somebody here tonight needs to get a hold of that old King James Bible and say, you know, I'm going to stick with the real McCoy. That's the one I'll defend. That's the one I'll fight for. Counterfeits. The counterfeits of life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we want to invite you to the Savior in a moment. The men that are sitting on this platform will make their way down the steps and they'll post themselves at the end of each aisle down front. In a matter of a moment, we'll start a thing called an altar call. The instrumentalists will play. The choir will begin to sing. The whole congregation will stand. There are people here. You might need to leave your seat. If you're unsaved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You've been saved, but you've not been baptized. You come. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you've been baptized by immersion after your salvation. You say, this is the kind of church I want to be a part of. Well, don't come on false pretenses. We're an old-fashioned Baptist church. That's what we are. I'm not trying to fake anybody. I'm not trying to trick anybody into this church. What you see is what you get. We hate sin and we preach against it. Now, we love people. We love people very deeply. But maybe you need to join a church like this. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you've been buying up books from false prophets. Maybe you need to get something right with God tonight. If you need the altar, we're going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. Don't let that balcony stop you. If you need to get to the altar, just step out of the balcony, walk down the stairs, re-enter this auditorium, and get on your face. We ought to thank God for the old-time ways and thank God for the old-time religion. Watch out for the counterfeits, young Christian. They advertised pretty well. They told me it was the budget tent. Sounded so much like budget inn, I could hardly tell the difference. But I'll tell you this. When I got there and I seen the product, I knew it was not the real McCoy. Oh, but be careful. Be careful now. They will believe the false prophet. They will be duped by the false prophet. They will be tricked by the false prophet. They'll believe that he's real. One of the reasons that they will be so easily persuaded that that false prophet is real is because there are so many counterfeits being promoted already. They're everywhere. You need the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. Walk up to one of the men. If you've been saved but you've not been baptized, you come. If you've already been saved, but you've never made it public, you come. Salvation is not 50-50. Salvation is not 90-10. Salvation is not 99% Jesus and 1% you. Jesus does all the saving. He does the saving and he does the keeping. Choir, one more time through the psalm, please. Thank you, choir. Congregation, go ahead and have a seat there.